Good morning. Oh, you're sounding good today. How many? Are you good today? Yeah, great to be with you this morning in God's house. And we're going to get right into it. Ephesians chapter 6, once again, verses 10 through 20, part 2 of, we're talking about fighting. Specifically, you know, there's enough fighting going on in our world. There really is. But we're really talking about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And we see the Apostle Paul, as he wraps up his letter to the Ephesians, he issues a warning and an encouragement to us, the church, an encouragement and a warning to the Ephesians, an encouragement and a warning to the church as a whole, and to us today, that there is a challenge coming, there is a battle getting ready to take place, and he wants us to be fully prepared for battle. So I want you to see a little background here. AD 61, he's in a Roman prison, he's chained to a Roman soldier, and he's looking at the armor and the dress of the soldier, and that becomes the spiritual picture, the metaphor for what we've been looking at last week and today. And so he issues that warning that challenges are coming. That's why we need to stand strong. That's 61 AD. A few years later, 64 AD, the Roman Emperor Nero, probably the most cruel, sadistic leader of all, he sets Rome on fire. It burns for 6 days. 70% of Rome is burnt. Over half the population is homeless, and he blames it on these Christians, this new sect or cult, as he calls it, Christians. And with that, worldwide persecution of the church begins. 70 AD, we see that Rome levels the holy city of Jerusalem, levels the temple of God. It destroys the nation of Israel. The Jewish people are dispersed, and they would not become a nation again until 1948, fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecies of the dry bones coming to life. Amen. And so we see he sets us up to look today that, you know, there's a challenge coming. And the reality for us this morning is the fact that we are in a battle. And we're up against Satan, an enemy who will do anything and everything to stop the church's progress. We are the church. Anything and everything to stop our progress. We are the army of the Lord. We're the body of Christ, the family of God. We are not a cruise ship. This is not a country club. We're called into a battle. And he gives us everything we need to win this battle. So we have to be prepared to put on the armor of God so we can stand and we can prevail. You didn't sign up for the battle. You didn't volunteer for the battle. But the moment you were born again, the moment, as Paul says, you're in Christ, we are in the battle. The moment you repented of your sins, accepted Christ, from that moment you stepped into a spiritual battle. And Paul tells us, yeah, the enemy is real. He's the one who's manipulating and controlling this lost world system, dominating, controlling men and women. And we have an enemy, and he's Satan and his demonic spirits. He is a created being. I'm here to tell you, he's not equal to God. He is created by God, not equal to God. And we need to know who our enemy is. Often we get mixed up and we get discouraged because we think our enemy is that guy at work. It's that other person. Sometimes we think the enemy is a political system, or we think the enemy is whatever. See, the real enemy, when it comes down to it, is Satan's and his demons. Because the devil is behind drugs, the devil is behind alcoholism, he's behind pornography, abortion, sex trafficking, and he's behind communism. He hates God, he hates you, he hates the church of Jesus Christ. The devil is very serious about this battle, and I believe it's time for us to get serious about the battle that we're in. We better be in it to win it. I'm in it to win it. Are you in it to win it today? We have everything we need to win it. He has called us to fight, and we're fighting from a position we win. It's based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wins, amen? So I'm already fighting knowing I'm going to win. Amen? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he would destroy the works of the enemy. 1 John chapter 4. So we get it. The devil's in it. He wants your marriage. He wants you. He wants your family. He wants the church. He wants your business. He wants this nation. But I'm here to declare we're not going to take it sitting down. We are the church. We're going to stand strong and in the power of his might today. Hallelujah. So here's a question as we get started, and I'm going to close with this question. Would you like or could you use some spiritual strength and power today? Amen? Jesus says, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. At the end of the service, we're just going to pray. I'll explain that a little bit later, but we're just going to pray. I'm going to ask you to come. If you would like spiritual strength and power, we're going to pray, we're going to worship, and God's going to do a refreshing and a strengthening in your life today. I believe that. So the big idea this morning is this. There's a spiritual battle taking place, and we must be fully prepared to fight. Yep, I'm in it to win it. I want you to be in it to win it. We're going to win this thing. Let's stand together this morning. Go to God's Word, if you would. Let's just receive. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. When I read and hear the word, faith comes to my spirit. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God, and it will change my life. I'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Take some notes. Look at the outline on the app there. The great Chinese pastor and theologian Watchman Nee, who died in a communist prison in 1972. In fact, he spent the last 20 years of his life in a communist prison, separated from his wife. He wrote an excellent commentary in the book of Ephesians, and it's sit, walk, stand. Sit, walk, stand. That's what we've been looking at over the last several months. And we look at this, it's the process of growth and Christian maturity. First of all, sit. That's our position in Jesus Christ. You need to know your position in Jesus Christ, who Christ really is, and the strength and power and the security that you have in Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. Walk. That's how we live it out, live Christ out in this world, our walk through this life. And then stand is our attitude that we have against the enemy and toward the enemy. So there's battlefields in this world in which we engage in spiritual warfare. First of all, the first battlefield is our flesh. We can't blame everything on the devil. That old nature, that old person, I can't blame him for everything. Sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. How many's found that out before? Yeah. And then we see our minds. That's where strongholds develop, mental strongholds. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in his writing to the Corinthians, and maybe places we've allowed Satan just access and believe things Satan had to say. And then also we see, as I just said, the devil and his demonic forces. They can and they try to control geographical areas and governments and people. And Satan, who is Lucifer in heaven, he was the worship leader of heaven in beauty. Lucifer, that was a beautiful name. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshiped. One third of the angels rebelled with him, and God kicked them out of heaven. And so when we see in the Word of God, and now there's a song, I saw Satan fall like lightning, this is what they're talking about. He has power, limited power. But we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have God's authority, and authority trumps power every time. Amen? Every time. So I'm going to recap this real fast. The six pieces of spiritual armor, I must get dressed. I must be prepared to fight. I must be suited and booted. I must be ready. Put on the armor of God. When we talk about putting on the armor of God, it's not, and I've heard people talk about this, maybe this might help you to get into this, but you don't have to get up every morning. I'm putting on my shoes, the gospel of peace. I'm putting on my blessed breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. No. Putting on the armor of God is what Jesus tells us in John 15, where he is the vine and we are the branches. It means I'm living in a vital relationship each and every day with Jesus Christ. I'm living in a vital relationship each and every day with Jesus Christ. He is my life. It's not just I prayed some prayer at some point in my life, oh Jesus, save me, and then I moved on with the rest of my life. I live in an everyday, up-to-date relationship. My life depends on him. He is the vine, and I am the branch. I am clothed with him. That's what we're talking about putting on the armor of God, that we're clothed with Christ. So the belt of truth, Satan's a liar. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness. How do we put that on? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, they shall be filled. The gospel of peace. I don't know if Mike talked about it, but last week in Pittsburgh, I talked about we have killer shoes. We really do. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you. The Romans, what they wore protected their shins, the armor, but their shoes had a metal nail, hobnail, on the toe and on the heel of the shoe, and the shoes were like cleats, like football players wear, so we can stand our ground and we're not getting pushed around by the enemy. I am holding my ground. I'm standing firm in the Lord and the power of his might. And I got spikes on the end of there because I'm just going to be blunt with you. I can kick some devil butt today in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. Come on. You think you're getting kicked around? Let's start kicking him around a little bit. We got killer shoes on, the shield of faith, and today the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation, the first part of verse 17. So what's the purpose of a helmet? To protect our head, or better yet, to protect our mind. Our mind, the helmet. It's tight fitting. It's thick metal. It comes down our back, covering our neck. It comes around at times to cover our face, our cheeks. It protects us. See, the enemy comes at us with his fiery arrows, those darts. He comes at our minds, mental attacks. He wants to play mind games with you. How many's had that take place? Some mind games, some mental attacks. That's what he does. Well, here's just a few. Doubt. That's a fiery arrow. Doubt. Did God really say that? Can you really trust God? You know, that's maybe for somebody else. Probably for somebody else. Maybe for another time. He creates doubt. Discouragement. Oh, that's a fiery arrow. You know, you're never going to get better. Things are never going to change. Probably going to get worse. How many's heard things like that before? It's been going on too long. Yeah. And now we hear things like maybe, you know, there's going to be more lockdowns. There's going to be more masks to wear. Yeah. I'm just saying no. No. I'm looking at the time. Should I say this? I'm just going to say this. I love you. Don't be offended by this, please. I've read and listened to too many respected doctors, that are fully convinced masks are more detrimental than they are beneficial. Come on, they are. If they go back into lockdowns, these doors will always be open. We're not going to be locked down again. If you want to come, come. If you're not comfortable, we're going to be online. If you're not comfortable without a mask, we'll have another section for a mask, and we're not going to even allow the devil to use that as a weapon to divide us. What I just said was my personal opinion. I can't do that for you. You have to do what you think is best for you. But Morningstar Fellowship in Pittsburgh and at 9th and Main in Quakertown, we will not be locked down. We will not be locked down. Oh, mass lockdowns, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, Okay. Delay. Why is it taking so long? I thought it would happen by now. I thought, why hasn't it? Difficulty. Why is this so hard? Why is my marriage so difficult? Why is my job so hard? Why is that person so difficult? Why is it so hard to find a job? Or depression. I just feel like it's not worth it. I feel like giving up. I feel like I can't go on. Feelings. I want to tell you something. Feelings are faulty, and you can't trust feelings. What do you do with your doubts? Here's what we can do. You doubt your doubts, and you believe your beliefs. Sit, walk, stand. You doubt your doubts, and you believe your beliefs. Whenever you start believing your doubts and doubting your beliefs, that's when you crack a door open for Satan in your mind, and he can gain entrance, and he wants to establish his stronghold. So what is it that protects my mind from evil thoughts? Here it is. It sounds so simple. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Salvation gives me a new mind. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Romans tells us in chapter 12, through the words of the Apostle Paul, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Salvation gives me a new mind. Salvation enables me. I have a choice. What I will or will not allow to enter into my mind. I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I have a choice. So I have the ability to choose. And here's what, and I don't think it's there on the screen. Write this down. Look at it later. What Paul says in his book to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. See, my mind is protected from Satan's attacks when I choose to think godly things. I have the ability. What will I allow in or not allow in? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, here it is, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The helmet of salvation will protect my thoughts. And then we see the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, our offensive weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The offensive part of the battle armor. The sword, God's word, the Bible. Now the word sword here, and as we know, the New Testament is written in the Greek language, and the word sword here, that word for sword would exact terror and fright into the minds of those who heard it. We hear sword, but what's he saying? it wasn't just a sword, but it was a weapon that caused the enemy horrified pain as he lay bleeding. We are in a battle. So when you hear that, would you like a weapon that can rip to shreds the enemy's strategies against you today? Would you like that kind of weapon? And I think everybody say yes, amen, right? We do. It's called the Word of God. Come on, tell your neighbor, I've got a weapon. Yes, the sword. And then the Roman soldier had different types of swords. One was a very heavy sword. One was a sword you had to use with two hands. That sword was really used for training, to gain strength, and to really be able to have perseverance in the battle. Then there was another sword. It was longer, a lot like our swords that we see today. And that sword could be used in battle. But the sword he's talking about was a relatively short sword, at the most 19 inches long, and it was two-sided. It was razor sharp. It was a double-edged sword. And at the end of that sword, sometimes it may have curved upward, or sometimes like a corkscrew, because when you thrust it into your enemy and pulled it out, it would bring devastation to the enemy. And that's the picture that Paul wants us to see today, that I and you have a weapon that will utterly annihilate the enemy that we face today. Hallelujah. A two-edged sword. That's what God has given us for the battle. Jesus showed us how to do this. He used the sword. He used the weapon. In Luke chapter 4, when he began his ministry with 40 days of fasting and prayer in the wilderness, he showed us how to use this sword, this word, this weapon when the enemy comes against us. Every time, each time Jesus came back at Satan with the word, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written, you must not test the Lord your God." And with that, it says, the devil left him. We have a weapon. We have the word. So the term word here is taken from the Greek word rhema. Rhema. What does that mean when it talks about the word as a rhema word? It means a timely word. It means a quickened word. It means an on-time word to be used in a specific situation that you speak against the enemy. You have to speak and I have to speak. We have to use the sword. How many understand that? I can't leave it in my sheath. I have to pull it out. I have to use it. And where does it come from? It comes from the Logos, the Word of God, the written Word of God. God will give you a word in season at that time that you can pull out of your sheath and you can use against the enemy, and it's powerful and effective. The Word of God. The Word of God. See, God's Word is truth. Satan isn't afraid of you. How many's found that out? Satan is afraid of your word or anything you have to say, but I want you to realize this today. Satan is afraid of Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of anything you have to say, but he's afraid of Christ in you, and he's afraid of the word of God. Satan is afraid of the word that we use against him. One word, I like that song, "From You, and things change on your authority." Amen? He can't handle the word of God. That's why it tells us no weapon of Satan's formed against you will prosper. God's word will go forth and it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. It is a sword that lays destruction. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil has to, and he will flee. I'm going to tell you, I'm ready to fight today. We're in a battle. I seem like, man, he's really pumped up. He had a lot of coffee. Yes, I did have a lot of coffee. I've been up since 4:30. I've been ready to go. 10 o'clock is kind of late here, you know. It's like, okay, let's go. But the thing is, honestly, I just look at and I say, the devil, you've gotten away with too much. We're fighting back. We're fighting back. We're fighting back. I heard a song the other day. Don't judge me. I hadn't heard it for a long time. I've never been a fan of, I guess it was heavy metal or punk, Twisted Sister rock band. Okay? I like classic rock, but not Twisted Sister. But I'm going to tell you, I just changed a few of the words and we had a Christian song there because we're not going to take it anymore. Come on, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. I was saying for the first time in my life, amen to Twisted Sister. Man. But that's what the church needs to realize. We need to stand up, stand firm. We're not going to take it anymore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've got the power. We have the authority. We have the Word of God. Amen. Satan can't handle the name of Jesus. Years ago, I visited a young man in the mental hospital, and this is not the case with mental illness, all mental illness, but what I'm going to say, this was his case. So I went into his room. I sat in a chair, began to talk with him, and yes, he was struggling. He had some real issues. He was hurting. So back then, I pulled out my little New Testament. I could read the tiny writing back then. And I said, let's read some scripture. And I began to read some scripture. Then I began to speak the name of Jesus. And the moment I said the name of Jesus, his complexion changed. His eyeballs changed before me. And a guttural voice came out of him. Don't speak that name. I don't want to hear that name. What do you think I did? I kept saying the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I went to college in Florida. I lived and grew up in Michigan, and I was driving back to from Florida to Michigan after the semester was over. I was in my first Mustang then. And a semi-truck hit me. I had a young lady that lived close to me in Michigan. She was riding home with me, and he hit us and shot us over into the median there in Macon, Georgia. It was a deep median, and that car began to go every which way, and the windshield was blown out, and the roof was peeled back, and the side window blown out. I didn't have this time to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, I didn't have time to pray, oh, dear Heavenly Father. No, what I have time to do? Jesus! 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 That car came to a settle there in the middle of that median, and people rushed over. I still remember one lady said, I don't understand it. Your car was vertical on in. I thought it was rolling over. I can't believe you landed on all four tires. I'm here to tell you why. Jesus, 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 hallelujah. The devil can't handle the name of Jesus. His name is above every name. Jesus is your advocate. Jesus is almighty. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with you. Jesus is your hope of glory. Jesus is your savior. Jesus is your rock. Jesus is faithful and true. Jesus is the Most High God. He is your great I am. Jesus is your morning star. Jesus is the almighty. When we think it's all over, when we think the dark side is winning, when we begin to think there is no hope, oh, hallelujah, there's Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I said it last week in Pittsburgh. You've heard it said, it ain't over until the fat lady sings. That's the opera. It's not over until King Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, says it's over. It's not over until he cracks the eastern sky riding a white war horse. And with him will be the armies of heaven. Not just the angels, that's you and me, the resurrected church. Hallelujah. Come on. We've got a future. Hallelujah. I don't understand that we're going to be riding horses that fly. Come on. Woo, does it get any better than that? Woo, horses that fly. I better start practicing. I don't know. And he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk across the Kidron Valley. He's going to walk into the holy city of Jerusalem and set up on a throne, and he'll rule and reign in justice, in truth, in peace, in prosperity, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His name is above every name. His name is worthy to be worshipped. His name is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not going to be the sacrificial lamb. Thank you, Lord. There's going to be fire in his eyes and a sword that comes out of his mouth, and it's the word of God. And every enemy will be surrendered. A robe dipped in blood and on his thigh will be his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus. Jesus. That's why the enemy is fighting so hard. I want to tell you that today. He's fighting hard. And then the word of God works in us personally. It says in Hebrews that sharper than a two-edged sword, because you know what? He wants to conform you into his image. I got to hurry along. It's 11:06 here. He wants to take things out of your life and put things into your life, and it's okay because everything he takes out, you don't need, and it's a detriment to you anyway. He wants to put the good stuff in. He wants to put himself into your life. That's what the sword does. Allow the sword to work, and sometimes it's painful. Yeah, come on. Jesus, I want you. I want you to do your work in me. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. I wasn't talking about that. Jesus, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, Jesus, yeah, sometimes a little painful. Come on, our God's good, isn't he? Yeah, he's never lost a battle and he never will, hallelujah. And then we see, I'm going to make this fast. The notes are there. We engage in the spiritual battle, it's through prayer. Well, I want to say this about the sword. If you're going to use the sword, you got to get familiar with the sword. You got to know the sword. You got to be in the sword every day. Amen? Amen. You got to know. So we engage in the battle through prayer. And it tells us here that we are to pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means several things. Because I always don't know how to pray. So this Holy Spirit helps us pray. How many's ever had trouble praying before? And there's just been a burden maybe. It's heavy. It's real. I can't articulate and put it into words. And that's why it says with groanings. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. Our Holy Spirit is a counselor. The Holy Spirit is a guide. He will help us in our prayers how to pray. I want you to know if you're in the vine and you're in a committed daily relationship with him, your prayers are going to be powerful and effective because you're not going to pray outside the plan of God. You're going to begin to see your prayers come to pass because you're not praying amiss. You're not praying selfish prayers. You are praying God-centered, God-planned prayers led by the Holy Spirit. Then we also see, I should look at the notes here, but then we also see the Lord has a gift for us and something that he wants to help us, and it's our heavenly prayer language that we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in tongues in our heavenly prayer language, and the thing is, when we do that, I'm not praying to man. I'm praying to God. God understands that, and the thing is, when I pray in my heavenly prayer language, the devil doesn't even understand that. It's code language. Some of you know what I'm talking about, amen? He's not going to stop that prayer. He's going to fight that thing, but he can't stop that thing. You see, he just wants us to pray. And there's one lie he'll use against you, and it'll get in your mind. I really don't know how to pray. I don't pray good enough. I'm not educated enough. It doesn't say anything like that in Scripture. It says, just pray. Just pray. And the more you pray, the more you'll be comfortable in prayer. You're listening to God. You're talking to God. And it says, pray prayers of supplication. That means of specific prayers. Pray prayers of persevere in your prayer. Then it says, pray prayers where I'm interceding for somebody else on someone else's behalf. But I want you to see what Paul is saying here. And I'm going to close with this. Stand with me if you would this morning. Paul says, pray for me. Why are we praying? What is the armor for? What is it really necessary? What is happening? See, the goal of our prayer is a weapon. I want you to hear this. The goal of our prayer is a weapon to make Christ known to this broken, hurting, dysfunctional, lost world. Be bold. Tell your neighbor, be bold. Be strong in the Lord. Stand with me if you would. So I'm going to ask this right now. And if you need to go, God bless you, I understand, really. But could you use some spiritual strength and power today? Maybe you're in a delay right now in life. Maybe you're facing a difficulty. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're doubting. Or maybe, and this is where I am, you realize you need the presence and the power of the Lord to fight this battle. That's what I need right now today. When Paul starts this teaching in chapter 6, when he says, be strong in the Lord and be filled in the power of his might, he's talking about the might of the Lord, yes, not our strength, his strength, but he's talking about God, as always, is looking for vessels, reservoirs. This is where you and I come in, or as Paul says, jars of clay to deposit his divine power. I'm a jar of clay. How about you? God wants to pour his presence and his power, strength, and refresh you for your journey and for the battle. Simple. We're going to begin to worship the Lord. I'm the first one to be here. I need a deposit of his presence and his power. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come from the balcony, from the back, from the front. Let's stand right here. Let's spend a few moments in his presence. Let's pray one for another and see and receive what God has for us this morning. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.